If you watch this show this morning, you are on a different timeline because it is now time to...
Hey, let's do Get Help.
What?
Get Help?
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great. It works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing Get Help.
Yes, we are, and it is time to slide us over some of those Emmy noms. Nom, 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 nom.
They got plenty to give, huh? You know, share the wealth a little bit.
23 for WandaVision, and then 5 for Captain America Boys. One of those going to Don Cheadle.
Surprising to everybody, including Don Cheadle, I would say.
Who said, hey, thank you, but I don't deserve this. And then I'm just curious. So, obviously, Loki did not meet the criteria of, like, when the Emmys
the timeline,
would.
So to speak.
But my big question is, how many would this show get? And I believe there's a lot. And there's a lot of main characters, side characters, writing.
Yes, absolutely. Particularly Don Cheadle's category of best guest spot in a
Yes,
TV
and I believe Don Cheadle will get
thing?
It again for this.
Oh, for this as well?
Yes.
Yeah. He could. I thought I saw him flying around there. How about Chris Hemsworth as Frog?
How about any of the variant Lokis?
Well, yeah, it's Richard E. Grant.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
That's the leader of the clubhouse. But I didn't know that was an award.
Yeah, and also I loved his tweet about how his father said to him, oh, do you want to wear tights your entire life? And he's like, I'd love to see him watch me now. That'd be great.
Yes, but let's not do what Loki didn't do in episode 6 and just kind of put off the best stuff till later. Let's jump right into it.
All right, let's jump right into it. In episode 6, the season finale, not the series finale. Keep that in mind. Spoiler filled, by the way. So also, don't get upset about us and write reviews being like, these assholes spoil. Guess what? The episode already happened. If you want a spoiler-free review, go somewhere else.
Yes.
Episode 6 is called For All Times, Always, period. Two periods in there. I like that. And the synopsis is Loki and Sylvie venture into the void beyond all and uncover the truth behind the TVA.
Pretty succinct. Doesn't give a whole lot away here. This is, of course, directed by Kate Herron, created for TV by Michael Waldron. And the Loki characters, for those at home, created by Jack Kirby, Larry Lieber, and Stan Lee.
And I believe one of the better compliments that you can give this episode is for all the complex mumbo-jumbo jargon, timeline jumping, it's a really simple episode.
Not a whole lot going on. It's pretty much two settings, right? That's just pretty much it. Maybe a third in there.
Very dialogue driven.
And which is what the show has been. Some people have complained about it. My other co-host doesn't seem to like this show as much, although I think this last episode kind of saved it for him, which was to my surprise, mostly because he said it lacked the action in here.
Well, you and I have kind of pointed this out, is that the action kind of sucks here. So why not give in to what the character is good at? And Owen Wilson, Mobius, said this very early on, you like to talk. And that's what we got a ton of. Got so much of it.
Yeah, and I think for what this was setting up and where we're going to go later on through the MCU, whether
Which
it be
anywhere.
On the Disney timeline or in the movies, it needed to do this. It needed to take the time to set up for what you, like you said, very complex issues here.
Wes, who stars? Who was in this episode? Because we did get someone new that... stole the show? Question mark.
Yes. Without saying too much here, absolutely. Tom Hiddleston, of course, playing Loki. We have Gugu Mbatha-Raw playing Ravonna Renslayer. Sophia DiMartino playing Sylvie or Lady Loki. Owen Wilson playing Mobius M. Mobius. We have Womni Masaka, which rumors were swirling that she was going to be revealed to be a Loki variant. Debating on some tweets that were pre-released. Didn't happen, but I kind of like her little bigger role there. We have, let's see, Tara Strong as Miss Minutes. And last but certainly not least, Jonathan Majors as He Who Remains. I think for the purpose of this episode, we can just call him Kang.
Now, I believe obviously he is Kang in this episode, and he kind of hints towards it. Hey, I've been called many things. One of them, a conqueror.
Yes.
And it's like, I like that. And I will just say
right
off
there,
the bat,
dude, right there.
Off the bat, when he first starts talking, when he first starts acting, he is very, very big, semi-chewing the scenery a bit. And I was a bit taken aback by it because I feel like the other two lead actors here, they've been very quiet in what they're doing, where now you have this big, loud actor. But then once he gets into who he is and what he does, you say to yourself, we've all gone through COVID. We've all sat in the house by ourselves for months on end. Imagine sitting in a house or a big old castle for lifetimes. Not one lifetime, lifetimes. And you're essentially, and you're essentially in charge of knowing what happens to everyone and keeping everyone on the straight and narrow. So once you really think about that, it's a fantastic job.
It's, I think he really adopted that crazy kook, that kind of house kept person, crazy cat lady very well, but it was also in like a very measured type of way as well. It all felt under control and that he was never like going to go over the edge or anything. Everything was done with a purpose, it felt like. So I thought the performance was great. Chewing the scenery is fine. I think it was well worth it for how long that we've been awaiting and anticipating this. So let him kind of go off and do his thing. I love that this was just him kind of taking up the whole episode.
And I also love the fact that even when he knows what's going to happen, that he's going to eventually lose, he's just like, all right, this is cool. And then he was actually excited to not know what happens when he drops the pen and he's like, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you be? Again, you spent millennia, year after year, millions of years or whatever the case for all time knowing what was going to happen. I mean, again, I love the callback of him pulling out the script as evidence of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Almost going back to the TVA of a list of everything that you've ever said. And again, like very interesting because like for this variant of Kang, and we'll get into this a little bit, to be the benevolent Kang is shows how far off the deep end these other variants could be. Because again, the amount of detail that it takes to set up the TVA and have that start running for itself and then just kind of become its own, you know, self-sufficient type of thing. Like that takes a crazy amount of detail and attention to detail.
So speaking of the episodes here, we're on episode 6, obviously the season finale. On IMDb, this is, of course, gospel. This is how people really think about episodes and about ratings. This was the highest rated episode so far at 9.5 as compared to, like, episode 2 was a 9.0, episode 4 was a 9.3. Up to this point, my favorite episode, and still I think the funnest episode of the bunch, is episode 5. That is a 9.2. If you like Easter eggs, that is where it's at.
Yo, you saw that Easter egg?
Yes, the whole episode was Easter eggs, Mr. Mackey. But I'm in on this episode being a 9.5 because I also think out of all of the Disney Plus shows, this is the one that stuck the landing. This is the one that not only built upon their story, but now continues the story, not just for themselves, but for everybody else.
Right. You know, and you have Scarlet Witch and Vision who can fly. You have Falcon who has wings and they couldn't stick the landing. But of course, a Loki could here. I'm in complete agreement with you. I'm a little bit higher. Yeah. Than IMDb was with the 9.5. I'm giving this a 98 on my very complex scale out of 100. Again, the single best piece of Disney Plus I've seen to date. That includes The Mandalorian. That includes everything. WandaVision episode 4 or 5, whatever that was there, also included. Near flawless 45, 46 minutes of television. Hit on everything what the show was. And then we've already mentioned this right off the top. Huge, huge coming out party for Jonathan Majors and the MCU. Cannot wait to see what this next big bad has in store for Phase 4, Phase 5 moving forward.
But not only was it a great appearance by Jonathan Majors, this is also, so we have talked about it for maybe 3 or 4 episodes now of you need to introduce Kang now because you can't just have him pop up in the season finale and have us either care about him or just be like, okay, yeah, sure, he's the bad guy. The way that they did it was perfect. Because he doesn't just show up
early.
But he doesn't just show up as Kang. He shows up as the all-seeing, I believe, correct? He who remains.
He who remains.
He who remains.
Yes.
Sorry. And by the way, we're just going to call him Kang for the rest of the episode. Deal with that. But he shows up, and it's completely believable that this character was behind everything. And also, we know where he is going to end up and where he is going to string everyone along. That I think that the way that they brought the character in, first off, shut me up. But also, that is what the episode did so well, is that they introduced this character and they allowed him to carry it. Like, how much does Loki actually do here?
Yeah, no, and again, I think for everyone who's kind of coming up into this with saying, who are the big villains? Is it a Loki variant? Is it some form of Kang here, right? So I think everyone kind of gets their sort of flowers here on this. But again, I think with Majors coming in here and immediately so early on the introduction, you believe him right off the bat. He comes across as very trustworthy and a show that's filled with liars and deception. Like we, I still don't know what Ravana's deal is. Yeah, they're right.
I don't know what anyone's deal is.
Loki and Sylvie were at each other's throats, ready to double cross each other. Yep. And yet from the moment that Jonathan Majors or Kang was on screen, I believed everything he said.
And I also love the fact that he once again called Sylvie Loki in the episode, because I need that reaffirmed to me that she is in fact a variant version of Loki, because she at the beginning is like, don't call me that. That's not who I am. And we got a little bit of that last week. But this week, once again, if he's saying it, it has to be true. My score, and I think I'm doing this because on Mac and Goo, we don't deal in half dogs. So, you know, you either go like 37 dogs, 38 dogs, 39 dogs, 40, and it's usually an even number. So I'm going to give it a 97 because I can for this episode.
I like that. Yeah, so you go a little bit higher here, going above and beyond.
But a variant Goo, when he's on his own show, can't do that.
So what is 97 out of 100? So that's 97%. What is that in hot dogs here? What would that be?
That is 38.5.
38.5, okay.
I'm
good at math there.
Don't quote me on the math. I'm not here to do math. I'm here to talk about time travel. That's what.
Well, I was prepared to ask you what percentage 97 out of 100 was. So I was caught myself before coming out of there.
let me take some time on that one. And so we're going to do our overall grades for the full season next week. But as a show, I think that this is the most consistent from start to finish of any of the big three here. By the way, the big three, of course, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce.
I thought it was mystics, androids, and wizards.
Goblins, right, and ghouls. But this had the highs and the intrigue of WandaVision. This has had the most impact on the universe, we think. We think so far because they've kind of pulled the curtain back sometimes on us, but they can't do too much. The cat's out of the bag. You can't stick that sumbitch back in.
Yeah, Kang's here.
I think a perfect number of episodes, too. Six episodes, I think, was the nail on the head. And also, I think the episode duration at about 40 to 42 minutes, two 22-minute episodes on the old sitcom television, very well done. And if your worst episode is episode 3, which is a fine episode, you're doing something right here, and it's a great theme of self-discovery, self-love.
I think I'm in alignment with a lot of things that you said there, particularly with the show being the best overall. But yeah, I think we can get into that a little bit next week too. So I think I'll do a big market tease and hold off on my total score until next week. But what do you say we open it with the episode rundown?
I will also say that Variant Wes and Variant Goo, if you listen on Friday and on Monday, you'll hear our scores for the full season. But stick around for next week too.
Yeah, why not? Give them a reason to come back here.
Episode rundown. And this one does start out a little bit different. And when it was happening, I'm like, is there something wrong with my TV? Is there something happening here? And it's the opening flipping of the comic books. It's the Marvel logo. And it's just a ton of quotes in different parts of different movies that are leading up to this point. And at first I was like, wait, are they going to start doing this for all of the movies and shows? And then I said, wait, no, this is just for this show. I can relax because I didn't want this for every show. It was a little alarming.
Yeah, it was nice. It was to show the whole disruption of time and all of that stuff. I thought that was cool. Again, a nice little nod, kind of like what they did, if I'm not mistaken, with Endgame. Little something with the switch up there on the intro.
Yeah.
But very cool nonetheless. We get Sylvie and Loki, who are entering the Citadel at the end of the time. That's the official name. And Miss Minutes jumps right out as they enter the room there. Kind of a little bit of a jump scare. Offers their deepest desires in a last-ditch effort to kind of keep them from moving on.
You guys can have your own timeline. You can win New York. You can beat the Avengers. And you can kill Thanos. And Loki's like, that's not a bad deal.
Hey, wait a second. Yeah. Hey,
like, maybe we should do this. And also, you have a little point at the bottom. I also had this in my notes, but a real heavy theme of Adam and Eve in this episode.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Adam and Eve, I mean, you can go back to this with Kang eating an apple as it reveals all knowledge on the timeline. Very, very on the nose there. Doesn't making them do anything but offer them free choice of ruling either a paradise or be cast out into the world. And Loki and Sylvie are Adam and Eve. where one are variants of each other, man, woman, and human.
Made from the rib of the other.
Yes. Yes. Very, very interesting stuff there. So I, you know, I'm a big fan of that, all that stuff. I picked up on that right away.
Same here. And what gave it away was the apple for some reason. I don't know why. As soon as I'm eating an apple, I'm like, wait a second, Adam and Eve, what's happening
chewing,
here?
Chewing scenery there. Yeah, that was good product placement by the Red Delicious group. Mm-hmm. Although I think that was a green apple. Yeah, maybe not. Miss Minutes, though. So again, this goes into a question that I have here where, in the conversation that Kang is having with Sylvie and Loki, saying, like, I know everything happens, but you have to still play it out. Like, I pave the road, you walk it sort of thing. Why would Miss Minutes offer these last-ditch efforts if he knows that they're just going to deny it anyway? Is it because he has to at least give the illusion that there's free choice?
That, plus I believe that he feels that Loki would take it, and he could possibly get other Loki to maybe buy in as well.
I see, that's interesting. Yeah, it's just, it's funny when you get to time like that, when you talk about forwards and backwards time, and I kind of twisted myself in a pretzel. I watched the Tomorrow War leading up to this. And again, another movie where, like, not to go off the rails here, but if you have a war in the future and you're sending people from the present to the future to die by the thousands, aren't you then just confirming the future?
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, maybe I'm in my own head here, but time travel is a motherfucker. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, much like Don Cheadle said, don't think about it.
Yeah, so they meet He Who Remains, right? That's that big reveal in the, is it an elevator or some sort of a room there? He explains the whole deal in a Bond villain-like scenario, which normally I might find annoying, but I was so enthralled with his performance that I was okay with it.
So we're not going to cross over into the movies right now, but say in like Black Widow, when you get that, I found that annoying in that movie. But here, the way that it's delivered and the fact that he is the all-knowing where he does, up to a certain point, know what's going to happen, it makes sense.
Yeah, and again, I loved him being able to work his time pad, his temp pad, to be able to jump. And again, even the way that he kind of glitches out is kind of scary.
Well, plus, too, a character like him would also know that the only way for these Lokis to accept his offer is to just fully explain everything to them.
Yeah, right. And again, I think being truthful with someone who is known to be a liar or untrustworthy is probably your best option at this point, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they present these offers saying, you can either rule the TVA and keep me the benevolent Kang, or you could kill me and release all of these multiple Kangs who I worked so hard year after year after year after millennia to contain these guys, and who knows what's going to happen.
So then you have the question of, do you want order? Do you want, do you want to know what's going to happen? Or do you want free will?
And again, this is kind of interesting stuff going back to Loki's not first introduction, but in Avengers there as the villain, when he's like, isn't this your most natural state, when he's talking about, I think it's at the German hall there, right, when he first makes his introduction to Earth. He's like, get down on your knees. You're meant to be ruled. You're meant to be ants. And it's kind of funny that he's kind of in a similar position right now that he's realizing.
So with this conversation here, you get Kang, who says, I've been called a ruler. I've been called a conqueror. And discussing the variant war between the worlds. And of course, we got this teased to us in episode 1. It was all him.
It was Kang all along.
It was Agatha. It was Kang. And he explains, Eliath, he was the one who was able to capture the power of Eliath to then win that war.
Yeah, again, I love the way that they explain this with this whole little wristwatch thing that turns into,
claymation.
Like liquid metal. claymation. I like that. So I thought that was a really cool way. And again, when he said He Who Remains, I'm like, wait, what is this kind of going on? And then once he explained that I'm from the 31st century, then I'm like, okay, now it's on. Then I went to another level and was able to kind of fully buy in. Because, of course, right, that's Franklin Richards. That's where he comes from, his timeline. Discovers time travel, goes back in time, blah, blah, blah.
So the way that I say order or free will, the way that he says it is stifling order or cataclysmic chaos.
Yes. And again, where he's the most benevolent of the Kangs, he is still pretty maniacal, pretty crazy, and very egotistical. But again, I think that's... That's a good way of putting it.
So then we get to the conversation, the fight, the kissing, everything else between the Lokis. And this felt so Shakespearean. Everything about this, even the way that they were fighting, it felt like a play.
Yeah, it was like a little bit of a dance again, to the point, like, if you have Loki enchanting himself or making himself pop up just before Sophia DiMartino Sylvie is going lunging in slow motion, how can she stop that? Like, of course it's a dance. You know, again, it feels more like a play. I think that's a good way of describing
it. I was waiting the entire time for him to pull out an Infinity Stone. Any of them.
Nothing. I know. I thought your call on
Time
Stone. On that planet. I think that makes sense there. Lamentus.
Yeah, so she pushes him through one of the portals. He's now out of the picture. And at that point, she stabs Kang.
And it's done. He's like excited too. And he has this killer final words, or see you soon, right? I'll see you again. And it's a smile on his face. And she kind of realizes, like, oh shit, he was telling the truth at this point.
And actually, my favorite part of the episode is when she says the word boogeyman. She says boogeyman. I thought it was very charming.
So we have B-15, who is not a Loki variant, at least not revealed to be one yet, travels back to 2018. I don't have the area of this, so do you have the location by any chance? Do you remember?
Was it Ohio State? Was it in Ohio? It was in Ohio.
Okay, you could be right. Hey, I'll go with it.
Ryan Gretchel says Ohio, so...
Oh, my man, 50 grand. Thank you so much. So I like that here. And the FDR high school, and then runs into another hunter and explains that everything is screwed up here.
Yeah.
But as they do that, a separate Ravonna jumps in. Mm-hmm. And what's going on there?
Where did they all go? Where do all of these Ravonnas go? And that might be the biggest question of leading into season two, because I feel like some of the other stuff from this episode will get answered in the movies. But I feel like when it comes to like Sylvie and Ravonna Renslayer, you'll get the answer in Loki season two.
Yes, absolutely. And that seems like where it's going to be going on. It's going to be maybe some sort of Hunter B-15 and Mobius together, or you know, something like that. I was really curious why she got such a high billing for having such a kind of small, relatively small role in this. And that seems to make sense as the rest of the episode kind of plays out, to pick it up on season two.
And then, of course, we get the post-credit scene. Kind of stinky. I'd like a little more. I don't know why we just got the folder being stamped. Not great. But, of course, before we get there, we have the changing of the statue at the TVA.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty, pretty awesome here. But we also have at the TVA Mobius encounters Ravonna in her office, too. So that's also kind of a big moment here, because we're thinking Mobius is going to burn the whole place down, right?
And
we find out that he is... he's a horrible fighter. I mean, in a show filled with bad fighters, he got taken down so quickly by Ravonna, who my only experience with Ravonna and fighting style is getting her ass whooped by Sylvie. Mm-hmm. So again, I know Sylvie, Ravonna, and then Mobius, that seems like a proper tier.
Wow.
But he so easily just got disarmed there. I was like a little disappointed in my guy Owen Wilson.
Great point here by Ryan Getchell. The color scheme at the TVA goes from orange to green.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So no longer in the control of Miss Minutes.
So I guess this plays into the theory that every episode is about a time stone.
Because it's the colors there. I really wanted to get a guest appearance from our guy Casey. I really thought it might have been Casey all along, who of course was a bumbling fool. Really shined bright. It was like a meteor flashing across the sky in episode one, and then just never got his due.
And in that final variant timeline, or where Loki was pushed off to, he goes, he finds B-15, he goes and he finds Mobius, and he's like, hey, I know what to do now. And they're like, we don't know you. Kinda. We do know that you're a Loki, but different timeline.
When is Loki, right? Not where is Loki, but when is he? Ravonna, you know, jumping into the Tempad, trying to go find her free will and what's going on there. And I think one of the lingering questions is, how much does she know? Because I think from episode five, it felt like she was playing dumb to an extent, and still to a point here. But I kind of tend to believe her that she doesn't know what's going on.
Do you think that she's going to find her Kang? Because that is one of his, or that is a love interest to him. So maybe she is going to find her Kang, because there are multiple Kangs, obviously.
Yeah, and again, I'm just interested, like, how she kept her job if she, you know, going back to episode five, if she let a young Sylvie run away right in front of another judge. Like, that would be an issue, right?
Yep, yep.
Right? You don't get really a promotion after that.
So do you have any more timeline thoughts here, or are you ready for our Emmy award-winning segment?
I'm so ready. I'll ask 21 questions,
and they all about us. I really only have one, and that is, where the fuck is the jet ski?
oh my God. I was just something up fierce right there. Yeah, I want to know what's going on with jet skis.
Where is the jet ski? How do they talk about that for so long in one of the episodes and then not pay that off? Have that be nothing.
Why not go into his memories? Maybe he was like, you know, Sylvie goes into his memories and then he was pruned or taken away from the timeline as he was jet skiing. And that's like the last memory that he has. Like, that would have been something nice. There we go. Something quick.
If he landed on the jet ski, that's 100 across the board for the show and the episode. But that's the reason why right there. The jet ski.
Yeah. Yeah. You lose a few points for that. Yeah. He Who Remains. Yeah. So I was a little interested about that because, you know, he plays a much different character completely in the comic book. So this is another case of kind of the Marvel Universe combining and taking some creative licensing there with He Who Remains and Kang. Kind of like what they did with Hela. Hela was also kind of a form of the Enchantress, actually, and some of her powers.
And she was also kind of death, but she wasn't really death. It was a big old mishmash, if you will.
So definitely, you know, up the sleeve of Marvel to do that. So we talked a little bit about Ravana and where she goes. We see the 63 and counting branch realities here. I thought that was maybe more of an Easter egg, but this brings up a question of what if Marvel's what if here?
Yeah.
Does that make that an opportunity to be canon? Because I know we weren't thinking that prior to this episode.
Maybe it makes an opportunity for some of it to be canon. Like, maybe they'll pick and choose the ones that people like.
Yeah, I kind of like that. And I think we've already speculated a little bit about, you know, whoever takes on the new Black Mantle, Panther Mantle, excuse me, may do so in actual Wakanda Forever.
Like, maybe they have people go online and vote. What episode do you think should become its own movie and its own timeline?
Oh, choose I like your own adventure. Like Goosebumps.
Yes,
yes.
Like Goosebumps.
R.L. Stine. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Go to page 63.
Yeah.
Speaking of people voting here, good. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the people before we went any further here, I think. And they were correct. We put a poll out here on July 13th asking the people if they will be disappointed if they didn't see Kang the Conqueror in some form during the finale. They said yes with 50% of the vote. With 21% saying, I don't care, he's in Ant-Man 3. So people weren't, you know.
Well, now, is he just in Ant-Man 3? Or is he going to be in Doctor Strange? Is he going to be in Spider-Man? Is he going to be in every movie now for the next 40 years?
Well, I wonder if you keep getting those teasers a la Thanos. Fine, I'll have to do it myself.
Exactly, yeah, sort of something thing. Like that.
And shout out real quick to the people once again, who is the main villain of the Loki series, Kang with 48.9% of the vote, 135 votes here. That was with a Loki variant, Ravana Renslayer, and Miss Minutes as your options there. So the people got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people were dead on.
So my big question is, when is the next time that we see Loki? Because I know that there was the question that this might even be his last Marvel property, Tom Hiddleston. But my assumption now, he's one of the most popular characters going, is that first off, he has to be in Doctor Strange. Much like in the last one, Doctor Strange kind of has to like reprimand him and, hey, you got to go back to your home planet type of stuff. Or actually, no, that was in Thor Ragnarok, sorry. Then also, would he be in Thor Love and Thunder? Because that's just who his character runs with.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet that he is definitely making some sort of appearance in Thor Love and Thunder. But, you know, Doctor Strange has a lot of tongue lashings to give out here. And I don't know if he's got a wet enough whistle to do so, because there's a long list.
Yeah, we did find out there's a Lego set out right now for Spider-Man No Way Home that Doctor Strange and Wong are both in. So looks like he'll be in that movie.
Right. And again, I think this might jump into, did y'all see that Easter egg segment? Because I think that's where this is heading.
Yo, you saw that Easter egg?
Yep. I think it's the whole episode, just like you said about episode five, for the most part. It's an Easter egg leading up for Doctor Strange 2, Ant-Man 3, Spider-Way No Way Home. These all things.
Spider-Way No Man Home.
Is that what I said? Did I? Son of a bitch. Can't take two.
That's my new favorite movie. That's my new favorite movie now. Spider-Way No Man Home.
Oh man, the illiteracy is coming through great here tonight. Yeah, but needless to say, it all sets up all of this here, and the idea of having Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's becomes that much more legitimate now, right? Yeah. You can kind of see the whole painting kind of coming together as this happens, and I love this, and not just the idea of having one Kang or two Kang, you could have three Kangs, and I, you know, what I'm most excited for, Secret Wars.
Yep.
This makes that very much like possible with the idea of maybe bringing back another Captain America, another version of Iron Man. You know, some of these characters who have already been sent out to greater pasture could come back.
Anything
in a new
can happen
role.
Now. Literally.
What if?
Anything. What if? Like, Wes, what if we talked about what if? Would you listen? The podcast?
I think if you asked me that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I'd say, maybe not. But I think after the trailer and after this episode here, I think we could, I think I could listen.
Maybe we have people go online and vote.
I was just going to say, but I've been big on the polls recently.
Specifically, we say, what episodes? Because I don't want to do the zombie one.
No, you don't?
Looks stupid.
That looks, I can't wait for that one. Are you kidding me?
Looks like a little job for you and the Fry Guy.
Well, it sounds like it might have to be. Might have to be here. A couple things really quick, too, Gu. We don't want to have to mention this too much, unless you want to save some of this for next week as a big market tease.
Yeah, we can save this for next week. This looks like a big overarching thing right here, right?
Yeah, it does feel overarching, yeah.
All right, so that'll do it for this week. Catch us next week for a quick little get help. We'll do a full season thank you for watching type of dealy. But for this week... For all time, always, get help.
Hey, let's do get help.
What?
Get help.
No.
Come on, you love it.
I hate it.
It's great. It works every time.
It's humiliating.
Do you have a better plan?
No.
We're doing it.
We are not doing get help.